You're listening to the Matt Clark Report. Matt Clark Report. Conservative talk for real patriots, because freedom is on the ballot. Here's your host, Matt Clark.
Good afternoon, patriots. Welcome to another episode of Matt Clark Report. We're broadcasting live from New York to around the country, around the world. Thank you all so much for tuning in right here on Patriot One News. Every day, Eastern Standard Time, 12 p.m. Well, Donald Trump has never been as close to as he was to announcing a presidential run as he was in Iowa last night during the rally. He had the crowd on the edge of his seat, and as I was watching intensely from my home here in upstate New York, I thought for a moment he was going to do it. I thought, do it, Donald, do it. Just go right now, go. He didn't do it, and I know why he didn't do it, but I thought, God damn, that was close. We've all heard that Donald Trump's going to run. Donald, next week, next month, blah, blah, blah. We've heard it over and over and over. So we know it's coming. We just don't know when. Personally, I've been projecting and predicting that he waits to see what happens with the midterms. I've been saying it on the show for months now. I said, there's no way Trump's going to run until we find out what happens during the midterms, or until we find out the results of the midterms. The reason we're hearing Trump ramp up rhetoric and get closer and closer and closer to a 2024 announcement is because we and Team Trump and the GOP are that confident that we are going to sweep next week's midterms, that we're going to dominate the House and we're going to dominate the Senate. Every poll on planet Earth, even liberal CNN, progressive Politico, every poll is pointing towards a GOP win. In the Senate, everyone, including Real Clear Politics, which is very unbiased, they're an aggregate. They look at all of the polls, hundreds of polls, and they take the averages. Real Clear Politics is showing a four-seat GOP pickup. Nevada, Adam Laxalt. New Hampshire, Don Bolduc. Georgia, Herschel Walker. Arizona, Blake Masters. Even though sneaky, slimy Rhino Mitch McConnell took $9 million out of Arizona and put it towards that fake Rhino Lisa Murkowski in Alaska, even after he's done that, screwed Blake Masters out of all that ad campaign money. We're still seeing Blake Masters as a GOP pickup in Arizona. So Trump knows this. It's getting very real. Trump doesn't want to announce, and he probably doesn't even want to run if we don't get control of the Senate and the House. But you better believe we sweep next week, and it's very, very, very likely that it's going to happen. And I'm going to show you numbers later on in the show, and we're going to take a look at what Politico said, progressive radical Politico, who you better believe kicked and screamed their way through the polls this week, this week, this month, probably hating every single second that they have to show real numbers, and that is that the GOP is very, very likely to win. So let's take a look at what the New York Post had to say. What's with this November 14th date here? What's going on over in Team Trump that somebody is so sure that we're looking at a November 14th announcement? And if he doesn't go on the 14th, when will he might go? Georgia's runoff election, which is looking very likely between Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock, looking very likely. People, don't be upset if we go to a runoff, because we're looking at about a 48% tie here, leading to a December 6th runoff. We saw it last election 2 years ago, and it's likely we're going to see it again. So any announcement will likely be, according to the New York Post, which heard it from very, very credible sources, any announcement will likely be followed by several days of political events focused on the president. Headlines are now reading that Trump is looking at a November 14th run. Former President Donald Trump plans to formally announce his long-teased third run for the White House later this month, two sources told the Post on Friday. This has all just come out today after the rally last night. One source added that November 14th, which is the Monday after the midterm elections, is the likely date the 45th president will launch his bid. Another source said an announcement would come sometime this month, but they had not heard of a specific date being set. So we've got two sources now reporting to the New York Post today. This is breaking news. You're hearing it first right here, right now, unless you already saw a New York Post article. Two sources, one saying November 14th, one saying sometime this month. What's the discrepancy? The Georgia runoff. The announcement date, 6 days after Republicans are expected to post big gains in the House and Senate, was actually first reported by Axios, which cited three sources. So you got Axios now citing three sources. Any announcement will likely be followed by several days of political events focused on the 45th president. So why are people believing this? Okay. Why are we so sure this is it? It's coming. The news comes just one day after Trump told a rally crowd in Sioux City, Iowa. This was just last night. If you watched the rally, you would have heard it. Trump said he will very, very, very probably do it again. Let's take a listen.
In order to make our country successful and safe and glorious, I will very, very, very probably do it again. Okay? Very, very, very probably. Very, very, very. Oh, that's nice. Well, get ready. That's all I'm telling you. Very soon. Get ready. Yeah.
And there you have it. Get ready. That's all I'm telling you. Get ready. Listen, this guy is ready to explode with an announcement. The only reason he can't is because they've got election laws to consider. Ron DeSantis has election laws to consider. However, I don't think DeSantis is going to go for it. I really think this is Trump's. This is Trump. It's still Trump's time. It's Trump's time. Trump's made it very clear that he's getting ready. And I think he's doing the right thing by not announcing before the midterm elections. It's been frustrating. We've seen the Democrats absolutely destroy this country over the last 2 years. The raging border crisis we have, 4.9 million illegal immigrants storming our border. We now have them mocking us and ridiculing us, waving Venezuelan flags as they cross the border and throw rocks at Border Patrol officers who are now in the hospital. We have crime out of control across Democrat cities. We'll get into that in just a minute. And why Democrat voters, even pro-choice Democrat voters in New York, are sick of Kathy Hochul. And they don't care about abortion right now. They are going for crime. They are disgusted with crime and they want it taken care of. So you have all these issues that Joe Biden has caused, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Democrats have had enough. So I'm not surprised that Trump's now finally saying, get ready, guys. It's coming. We're about to do it any day now. The suggested date is November 14th as of right now. But you never know. Trump's always said and suggested that it could be anytime after the November 8th midterm election up to Thanksgiving holiday. We've heard him tease it several times. However, the sources have cautioned, including Axios, who said three sources have said it's going to come anywhere between Thanksgiving and the midterm election date. However, they did say it could change depending on the midterm results, especially if control of the Senate hinges, which I believe it will, on the December 6th runoff in Georgia. that we have going on between Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock. But don't let that scare you. Do not let that runoff scare you, because all of the polls, most polls, have Herschel Walker winning as a Senate pickup to win the Senate 54-46. Okay, so we have it projected that we are going to take Georgia, even though we're going to go to a runoff first. So how bad are things across the country that lead me to believe that even Democrats are ready to vote Republican? I see it all the time in the comments. But what's good is where Democrats used to be scared to say I'm voting Republican, they have no shame in admitting it now, and rightly so. They shouldn't be embarrassed. It's not a shameful thing as a Democrat to say, listen, I'm going Republican this time. And we're seeing it now in very, very deep blue, far left, radical, liberal New York State. Democrats have said, I'm done. Here we go. I'm 100% for Lee Zeldin. And this is a good representation and a very good indication that a similar movement is going to be seen in states like Michigan, in states like California. Ultimately, California has a very, very long way to go. But I do think if we could do this in New York State with Lee Zeldin beating incumbent Kathy Hochul, that maybe Democrats in California will say, hey, wait a second. I actually don't like this nonsense. I don't like this crime. I don't like seeing homeless shoot up heroin while my kids are trying to walk by them to get to school. So maybe New York could be the catalyst to a greater movement throughout the country. Let's take a listen to what Democrat New Yorkers are saying. Pro-choice Democrats, by the way, about them turning on their own party.
Kathy Hochul took office in August of 2021, so a little over a year ago, and things have just gotten worse.
New York is absolutely not on the right track. It's like a runaway train crashing right into black and brown communities.
I don't support Kathy Hochul because she's done nothing to make our city safer, and she won't fix what needs fixing in our city. We just don't feel safe anymore. This is not the New York City that I want to live in. It's not the New York City I grew up in. It's not the New York City I know. And we need to get things back on track. And I believe that Lee Zeldin will do the job.
But as a mother of a homicide victim, I know that Lee Zeldin will make sure that rogue DAs will no longer be in office.
I'm voting for Lee Zeldin even though I'm a pro-choice Democrat, because Lee Zeldin's going to fix what needs fixing in our city. I'm a pro-choice Democrat, and I'm voting for Lee Zeldin because he's going to bring back safety to our streets.
I was a 40-year Democrat, and I'm voting for Lee Zeldin.
So there you have it. And it's something that we're seeing throughout the entire country. It's something that we're seeing in these Democrat states where these voters, my neighbors included, people I talk to every day, have just had enough. Let's take a look at the comments, Cam, and just see what Democrats are actually saying to this ad. Because here we have an ad by Lee Zeldin, and some of you might be thinking, okay, well, Lee Zeldin put that ad out. Is it true? Are Democrats really furious with what's going on? Or are they just a lost cause? So there's a lot of people reacting to this ad that you just saw. And again, I think it's good for all of you around the country, because I know there's a lot of you tuning in from all different states here, that this could come to your state too. First, we got to win. It's not a done deal. We're still seeing Kathy Hochul up in the polls by 4.5. But what is nice to see is that Politico has now gone from likely Dem to lean Dem. And what that means is it's not a gimme anymore in New York State. It's not a likely Dem. And it's only leaning Dem right now. Real Clear Politics has the race as a toss-up. So comments are suggesting that what you just saw is really how Democrats are feeling about their own party, not just in New York State, but across the country. The Political Cabbage on Twitter said, felt weird splitting my ticket for the first time. So clearly they're not going full red ticket, but good. I just hope that split had something to do with voting for Lee Zeldin. Signs all over New York State, Democrats for Zeldin. And we're seeing it over and over again across all the comments. We're seeing Republicans say, welcome to the party. Donna says, thank you. I am also voting red to save America. And that's a great comment because New York, you are going to save America. If you vote for Lee Zeldin, you're setting a precedent all over the country that other states can do it. So yes, that's a great, great comment. Voting red in New York to save America. Somebody replied to it saying, so happy to read you're voting for Z. I live in a red state and couldn't be happier. Red states don't put up with junk. And they don't. Sure, every state. This is a great comment, by the way, and I want to touch on this. Rosa says, sure, every states have criminals, but it's all in how the criminal and crime is handled by DAs and state governments. And that is a phenomenal comment. See, I've seen and I've read a lot of Democrats saying this is BS. This crime thing is nonsense. There's no crime in New York State. It's totally exasperated. It's just not true. Republican states have more crime than Democrat states, which I don't believe is true at all. I think we have a serious and much more diabolical issue in Democrat states. But it's not just the fact that crime exists in both red states and blue states. Okay, yes, they both exist. There's horrible red states with crime, and some blue states are horrible more so than others with their crime. The point that people are trying to make, and Lee Zeldin and other Republican governors and senators, is that it's how crime is being handled. This cashless bail BS in New York City is why the same criminal who committed 25 priors is back out on the streets 30 minutes later committing a murder. 30 minutes later, committing a rape in broad daylight in Central Park. So it's how crime is being handled that we have a problem with. Crime is going to exist in every state, in every corner of the country. You're not going to get rid of crime. Lee Zeldin's not going to come in and just kill crime dead in its tracks. We know that. But he is going to fire the DA on day one. And he's going to reinstate bail and make sure criminals go away for a long time. Make sure they don't end up back on the streets minutes later. That is where we are going to see a big change in New York. And that's all anybody's asking. Criminals, red states, blue states, they all deserve their day in court. They deserve a fair trial. What they don't deserve is to be back out on the streets 30 minutes after they committed an assault to then go murder the person they tried to kill in the first place. And that is all Republican governors are suggesting, is that we go back to basics, that we go back to law and order, that we go back to putting criminals behind bars and making them wait for their trial behind bars, depending on the severity of the crime. So Democrats are voting for Zeldin. Democrats are voting for Republican candidates all over the country. It's a beautiful thing to see. And here's a comment that makes me sad, and it's true. And I actually wrote about this on my Twitter feed this morning. If you don't follow me, go to Twitter, Matt Clark Report. You'll find me on Twitter. I wrote this. I commented. I said, you know what? It's a very sad day in our country when Democrats would rather some, not all of you. I know there's some of you watching the show, and I appreciate it. But it's a very sad day when many Democrats would rather vote just to win rather than vote like a responsible adult to save this country. That's what's happening. It's almost to the point where I believe if you continue to vote Democrat, stop calling yourself a moderate Democrat, because you're not. You're a radical now. If you keep voting for this socialist nonsense. We live in a country now where Democrats aren't afraid to call it socialism. You've got AOC going for socialism, Bernie Sanders going for socialism. If you vote for these people, if you support these people, if you support the likes of Kathy Hochul and Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan and Gavin Newsom in California, they are so far left that if you keep voting for them, stop calling yourself a moderate Democrat, because you're not. You are a socialist far-left radical. And if that term annoys you, if you feel resentment towards me for calling you a socialist, far-left, radical Democrat, then stop voting like one, and I'll stop calling you one. But you can't vote for Hochul and Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer and Katie Hobbs in Arizona and then say, well, I'm a moderate. I just, you know, I'm voting moderate. Because you're not. You're lying to yourself. It's just a lie. So this comment here was very sad to read. She said, brave of you. Stealth New York City said, brave of you. Most Democrats would rather watch our city burn to the ground than vote for a Republican. Exactly my point. And isn't that sad? It's a very sad day in America when Democrats would rather do that just to say we won than actually vote like a responsible adult and put an end to the madness, to save the kids, to save education, to tell the teachers' unions to piss off for once, because what they're doing in our public school system is just wrong. I mean, Democrats, you're not dumb people. You're smart. I'll give you that. You're very smart, maybe more book smart than common sense smart, but you're smart. So I can't sit here and buy the fact that you don't know what's going on, that you just don't know what's going on. I can't sit here and accept the fact that your head's in the sand, because I know it's not. So when you go and vote for these radicals, that's okay. But just know you now are a radical Democrat yourself. Over in Pennsylvania, what's even more diabolical is what's going on in John Fetterman's campaign. If we take a look at Fetterman, it's so bad right now that they're now in the 11th hour scrambling for the sympathy vote, coming out with ads that actually fairly represent just how catastrophic this guy's campaign is for his race. I mean, it's a last minute campaign ad that is so awful, yet it fairly represents his failing political career. In the end of this ad, Fetterman bashes Donald Trump, who has absolutely nothing to do with it. I mean, this is the state and desperation out of the Democrats. I mean, it's horrible. They're going for the sympathy vote here. They're trying to normalize Fetterman as a Senate candidate, someone who's supposed to go to Washington to create laws to act on behalf of Pennsylvanians and to defend the United States Constitution, which we all know, putting aside Fetterman's stroke, this guy is as socialist and as radical as you can get. Why any Pennsylvania would vote for him is beyond me. Polls are projecting an Oz win, thank God. But what's crazy to me is that it's even this close. How is it this close in this country? Let's take a look at the ad.
Mr. Fetterman. Mr. Fetterman. Mr. Fetterman.
Yeah?
You need any help?
I'm running for the U.S. Senate, kid. I need all the help I can get.
You're running for Senate?
Sure.
Where's your suit and your flag pin and your hair?
Oh, hey, kid.
I just want you to know I'd vote for you.
Hey, thanks, kid.
You want a drink?
Nah, no.
Really? You can have it.
Okay. Thanks.
See you around.
Hey, kid. Catch.
Wow. Thanks, Mayor John. What's a jag-off?
I'll tell you when you're older.
What the hell did we all just watch? I mean, what was that? This is their attempt to normalize the fact that they're sending a very mentally and physically challenged candidate to the U.S. Senate. This is how desperate the Democrats are right now, that they have nothing better to put forward to represent the state of Pennsylvania, and they know they're doomed. So they threw in that last ditch attempt to say, hey, let's go for the sympathy vote. And let's also throw in a shirt that bashes Trump at the end, which is completely unprofessional and probably will put the final nail in Fetterman's or the final nail in Fetterman's political coffin here. Because let's be honest, for the tolerant left, they keep pulling this stuff. They keep coming out with these horrendous tactics that just end up embarrassing themselves and end up doing more damage than good. I haven't seen a single Republican candidate in any campaign throw a shirt that says FJB or let's go Brandon, because it's just not cool. It's not funny. We're talking about trying to gain seats here in the U.S. Senate. And we're supposed to be acting like adults. We're supposed to be acting professionally. And John Fetterman just goes and completely buries his career with that one very stupid ad. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to discuss the four states that we desperately need to win that gives us the majority in the Senate. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you worried about the effects that higher inflation rates will have on your investments? Are you trying to secure your retirement savings against losses, but you notice that inflation is a hot topic these days? But how dangerous are low inflation rates on your retirement savings? An inflation rate of 2% may not seem like much, but it means that prices will just about quintuple over the lifetime of the average American. And 4% average inflation rate means that something that costs $1 when they're born will cost $23 when they die. That demonstrates the danger of even low inflation rates. So when it comes to gold and inflation rates, many investors want to know whether inflation rates have an effect on gold prices. What history indicates is that over the long term, increased inflation should lead to correspondingly higher gold prices. From September 1971 to August 2020, gold grew 7.5 times as much as inflation. Not only can an investment in physical gold help protect your assets against the damage done by inflation, it can also help grow the value of your retirement portfolio over the long term. If you're looking to protect your retirement assets, why wait until stock markets crash and gold begins to rise in price?
Welcome back to the show. You're watching Matt Clark Report every single day, 12 p.m. here on Patriot One News. Patriot One News now has over 340,000 followers. And I just want to say how grateful I am to all of you patriots across the country, across the world, because I can see right here where everybody's tuning in from. And it's awesome to see people coming in from the UK, from Australia, from Canada, from Japan, Asia. I mean, all corners of the globe, people are watching the show. So thank you. I really appreciate it. It's very humbling to see how quickly we're growing. And hopefully we'll see the same movement next week on Tuesday when we find out the results of the 2022 midterms. Hopefully we'll find them out that night, maybe the next morning. Hopefully it won't drag on for days and days and days, while some states like Pennsylvania get their act together, while some of these Democrat states count their ballots, hopefully without counting dead ones or counting duplicates. And I just pray the whole thing is legit, is above board, and that it goes down swiftly and quickly. Because right now, all polls are projecting a four-seat pickup. Let's take a look at what Real Clear Politics has the midterms at. We're looking at right now a 54 to 46 projection. And the states that we're looking to pick up are Nevada. These are pickup states. Okay. It doesn't mean that they're the only battleground and important states. These are what we call pickup states. Nevada, New Hampshire, Georgia, Arizona would be pickup states. That means we would flip them red for the win, 54 to 46. Pennsylvania is not on here because they already have it. It's a hold. It's a GOP hold if Oz wins. So who are the candidates that we need to focus on in these pickup states that would give the Senate the win, 54 to 46? They are Nevada, Adam Laxalt. They are New Hampshire, Don Bolduc. They are Georgia, Herschel Walker would be a pickup, and Arizona, Blake Masters would be a pickup. Now, the exciting thing about Blake Masters in Arizona, if you guys remember, I did a show a few weeks ago, and we spoke about the fact that Mitch McConnell pulled $9 million out of Arizona, which we were all very worried would hurt Blake Masters' campaign. He pulled $9 million out of Arizona to put towards Lisa Murkowski's race over in Atlanta. And this is when Alaska. And this is when the Alaska GOP censored Mitch McConnell, because Alaska wants Kali Schwabacka, who is a Trump-endorsed America First candidate in Alaska, to go to the Senate. Mitch McConnell didn't like that. Mitch McConnell said, nope, I want Lisa Murkowski there because Lisa will vote to keep me as leader. Lisa votes with Joe Biden. Lisa tells Alaska one thing and then goes and does completely opposite in Washington. So Alaskan Republican voters said, we're done with Lisa. We want Schwabacka. Mitch McConnell said, no, I'm not okay with that, because I need an ally in Washington, and Lisa Murkowski is a guaranteed ally for me. So I'm going to take $9 million out of the the super PAC fund that he has access to then put towards the race in Alaska. And it's doing damage to Kali Schwabacka. And we thought it was going to do damage to Blake Masters. So it's disgusting what Mitch has done, but fortunately it looks like Blake Masters is going to pull through for us to give Arizona that fourth Senate pickup. So fingers crossed, we really need it to go down as projected next week. I mean, every major poll is showing that we're going to pick up these four states. Georgia, hang tight. It's very likely we're going to see 48 to 48% tie, almost guaranteeing a Georgia runoff, which will take place December 6th. What's also really encouraging, and I wrote about this morning, is that Progressive Politico, it doesn't get any more progressive and Democrat than Politico. They are actually projecting and leaning towards a 54-46 GOP win as well. And here's our boys. We've got these guys down here. This is what we're hoping will secure the Senate for us. So let me kind of go through a little bit with you what Politico is saying. The Senate race in New Hampshire is what's really kind of sealing the deal for us right now, is moving from lean Democrat to toss-up in Politico's election forecast. Although Real Clear Politics has New Hampshire as a win, a pickup. This is a reflection of the tightening in that campaign in recent weeks. While Democrat Senator Maggie Hassan still has a narrow lead over Republican Don Dolbuck, she is no longer the favorite. So New Hampshire is a great win for us. The overall battle for the Senate majority continues to be a toss-up, but here's where it gets interesting, people. Pay attention. The range of plausible outcomes now includes a sizable Republican majority. A sweep of the six toss-up races would give the GOP 54 seats. Let's go ultra-conservative here. Let's go ultra-cautious and say that it wasn't a total six-state sweep. Let's say there's an even split evenly between these six, okay? Politico said, and if the two parties split the toss-up races evenly, Republicans would still win a one-seat majority in the chamber. So even if we split those toss-ups evenly, right down the board, 50-50, and that's pretty cautious. That's very, very ultra-conservative. they still are looking and projecting a one-seat majority in the chamber. New Hampshire is one of the Senate of the three, one of the three Senate races changing in Politico's latest ratings update. In addition to four governor's races and 13 House races, with almost all of the shifts, going in Republicans' direction. The Politico environment in the closing days of the race continue to move toward the GOP. So it's leaning GOP. It's looking very good. We spoke about in the first segment, and if you didn't hear it, if you're from New York, you want to go back and rewatch the show. We spoke about the fact that New York is now not likely Democrat. It's leaning Democrat. A lot of Democrats are sick to death of Kathy Hochul. They don't care about abortion anymore, people. You know, the Republicans thought, they really thought abortion was going to be their ticket to a landslide win, and it's just not. Democrats and Republicans alike are more concerned about the fact that our country is going down the drain at the helm of Joe Biden and the radical Democrats. In just 2 years, look what's happened. Any Democrat with half a brain cell knows we got to get ourselves out of this nonsense, especially in states like New York and California. I'm going to read some of your comments here on our own show. Guys, thank you so much for dropping comments. Drop comments. I'd love to tackle them. If you have questions, I'd love to address them. Jeff Phillips wrote, "Vote red. Stop the purposeful destruction of our country by Democrats." Absolutely. Jeff, you used a key word here, purposeful. It's a very good word. I don't think it's by accident what's going on. I do think it's by design. And if you told me a year ago that the Democrats were intentionally trying to destroy America, I would have said, "Come on, you're exaggerating." All right, let's be honest here. You know, Democrats are Americans also, and they can't all want to destroy America. But here we are 1 year later, 2 years after Joe Biden's been president, and I've seen what they've done. I've seen them turn a blind eye to the border. Not only are they turning a blind eye, they're demanding that Arizona governor, who's been stacking containers to fill gaps in the wall, they've sued him and said, "Get those containers out of there. You're trespassing on federal land." I thought they'd be applauding Arizona for taking it upon themselves to secure the border, to fill in the gaps where we have criminals, where we have drug cartels storming the border. You'd think the Democrats and Biden would say, "All right, listen, we have an issue here. You're technically trespassing on federal land. We're going to allow it, though. Thanks for helping us." But they're not. It's the exact opposite. They're suing Arizona. They're going after Abbott. They're saying, "You better get those containers off of our land because this is federal land you're trespassing on," even though it's going to open up the gaps again and allow the fentanyl and the cartels and the rapists and the murderers to storm those gaps. They don't care that it's happening. So, Jeff, when you say and make comments that it's purposeful, you're not exaggerating. You're absolutely right. Kathy Hochul releases criminals in New York. Gavin Newsom releases criminals in New York. Democrats with this cashless bail in process, released before court, is intentional. It's happening all over the country. It's not by accident anymore. I hate to say it, but they hate this country for some reason. This isn't me just trying to get you guys to throw me likes and clicks and engagement. I don't know why they hate America, but they just do. They're trying to destroy it. But I think we're switched on now. I think most Democrat voters are switched on. It's a great comment. Thanks for leaving it. Beth said, "Texans hate that Democrats in Houston are making it crime riddled during the BS. Bail Hidalgo needs Hidalgo needs out, hoping Houston wakes up. The rest of Texas, minus Austin and Dallas, is red, red, red. We're praying for you guys down there. Beto is a disaster. He wants to take your guns. I mean, Texas, it doesn't get any more conservative than Texas. And if Texas goes, by God, we are in serious trouble. So we're all praying for you down in Texas. We really hope Abbott wins. It's very close. It's a lot closer than I'd like it to be. And I know why it's close. It's close because Beto's out there railing all the university students who just came out of the indoctrination camps that have no idea what the hell's going on in America, that are they don't want guns. They don't really know why they're voting for Beto, but Beto's just kind of made them feel all warm and fuzzy inside, which is what these universities do to these kids before they finally get out in the real world and realize, wait a second, this is hell. I'm not voting for this crap anymore, but by then it's too late. Texas has already flipped blue. So I see what Beto's doing down there, and I just pray, if you have kids in college, if you have university students, if you have high school students, we all want to teach them to think for themselves. Yes. I don't believe it's fair to try to push our ideologies on anybody. Just like I don't think it's fair that their teachers push these draconian and very far left radical liberal concepts on them. So as a parent, I have a 5-year-old and I don't like him watching my show. I don't like him seeing what we're working on every day because I do want him to be able to think for himself. To a certain point, if I see that the radicals are starting to get a hold of him, you better believe I'm going to jump in there and straighten things out. But I do want him to be able to think for himself. So parents, my advice to you, especially down in Texas, who are getting manipulated by Beto, please educate them. At least give them an alternative perspective. Don't just let them run rogue. Because eventually they'll probably come to their senses. But let's try to make that happen before Tuesday when they go and place their vote, if they haven't already. So that's my suggestion to you guys down in Texas. Speaking of the indoctrination camps, very, very ridiculous story that I've come across over at the New York Post. Disgusting what just happened Halloween night. Reportedly, a professor dressed up as Michael Jackson. Okay, professor dressed up as Michael Jackson. No big deal. It's Halloween. Okay, it's Halloween. It's not like she came in dressing as Michael Jackson in the middle of December for some weird freaking reason to prove a political point. It's Halloween. This professor has dressed up like Michael Jackson, where she danced to his Halloween classic Thriller. This is at Washburn University. Well, they didn't like that. Cancel culture is now out to destroy her. And accusing her of cultural appropriation over Michael Jackson costume. When is enough enough? Let's break the article down, take a look at it. Because, you know, I thought we were done with cancel culture for a minute, but we're not. You turn your back on cancel culture for 5 seconds. They're like cancer, these people. It's cancer culture is cancer that if you don't nip in the bud now, it's just going to rip right through society, which is what we saw during the BLM movement, which is what we've seen over the last 2 years. The number one rule of cancer culture is never, ever apologize to cancer culture. So Washburn University professor decided to dress up as Michael Jackson and for Halloween, and she's getting absolutely destroyed. Holly O'Neill is the professor. She's white, is now also the subject of an investigation. Why there's an investigation is beyond me. This is ridiculous that we even need to have an investigation. Do these universities not have anything better to do with their time? Do these students, why are these students even bothering with this? Get to class. Like, focus on getting straight A's. I don't know. When I was in university, I was, you know, grades and girls were my top priorities, not my professor dressing up during Halloween. What's wrong with these kids that they even care about this nonsense? So Holly O'Neill, she's white. She's a professor at the Washburn University. She dressed up as Michael Jackson. during a Halloween party where she danced to his Halloween music Thriller. Not a big deal. It's not, I don't think she went blackface. She didn't do any of that. She just said, I'm Michael Jackson. Awesome. So a video of Anil dancing was uploaded to Facebook, since been deleted. Why? Why do we have to delete it? So what? You had a great time at a Halloween party. You dressed as Michael Jackson. Big deal. If I dressed up for Halloween as Barack Obama and then posted me walking around the town acting like Barack Obama, saying dumb things, I wouldn't delete it. I'd be like, I was Barack Obama for Halloween. So what? And I still don't even think all those people who painted themselves blackface 20, 30 years ago should have ever apologized. I mean, it was appropriate for the time. It's a little bit of a controversial issue today. If you walk around like blackface, I get it. You're asking for trouble. But she didn't do this. She just straight up dressed as Michael Jackson and had a great time at a Halloween party. Somebody posted the video. I don't know who posted it, but it was posted. It's now been deleted. A university spokesperson confirmed to the student paper that it is looking into the incident. Why? Why are you guys wasting your time with this crap? A teacher had fun. Washburn University is reviewing concerns raised by who? Students? Again, why do these students, do they have not anything better to do with their time than rat out teachers? Washburn University is reviewing concerns raised about a costume worn by an employee to an on-campus Halloween party. Here she is, O'Neill, there. Holly O'Neill, the subject of this investigation. The university said, quote, we are gathering information and hearing perspectives from the students, faculty, and staff who were involved and have been affected. Jesus Christ. How are students affected by this? They're acting like they've been tormented. They're acting like they're going to need therapy after a teacher dressed as Michael Jackson. I mean, this is what's wrong with our students today. It is out of control how weak they are, how soft they are. These kids are going to graduate coming out of a world where they've been babied, they've been coddled, they've been told, oh, poor you, come here, let me give you a cuddle over the fact that you just can't believe this teacher dressed as Michael Jackson. It's going to be okay. Do you need a breathing bag? What can we get you? Do you want a Xanax? Like, how could we make your life any more pathetic, really, is what's going on. So these kids are being coddled. They're going to graduate, and they're going to get out in the real world, and they're going to act like this freaking crazy liberal trans Starbucks employee that we posted a few days ago of him crying over the fact that he's being made to work an 8-hour shift. And now he wants to call on the unions to help with this issue because his manager didn't show up the weekend that he had to work 2 back-to-back 8-hour shifts. This is insane. You can't get employees to work to save their lives, or employers can't find college students, graduates to work to save their lives. They want their $10,000 free handout, which, by the way, they're not putting into maybe businesses. They're going out and partying with it. We've seen the interviews. They get out in the real world and they want to live in mommy's basement for the rest of their life. No wonder America is a freaking cesspool of insanity and our economy is going down the toilet because nobody wants to work. Joe Biden is full of it when he says the economy's up, income's up, gas prices are down. I heard him saying it last night. It was pathetic, ridiculous. He said, America's making money. Nobody's making money, people, because nobody's working. College students aren't working. They're not graduating and getting real jobs, or they might get a real job and think, holy crap, I got to work 70 hours as an intern to prove and pay my way into a career that 5 million other students are fighting for? Not interested. So this is why employers are hurting. This is why employers are making cutbacks, not because they're greedy and they want to profit through the roof, which they have every right to, according to the capitalist country that we live in. But that's not why they're doing it. They're doing it because they cannot find employees. Washburn University is a public university founded in 1865. They have an undergraduate enrollment in 2021 of 5,000 students. So big, pretty big campus. And now we have this teacher who showed up dressed up as Michael Jackson and is now under investigation because these students just, they lost their minds over it. I mean, I feel like these students really wouldn't care if their professors weren't telling them to care. I've seen videos where professors are in class getting them all riled up just for social media, just to play a video saying, hey, look how furious they are. You can almost hear them announcing action before the scene starts. So I don't want to pin blame on the students per se that are losing their minds over these nonsensical issues. It's almost like the professors are the ones to blame. The indoctrination camps as early as high school, middle school, even grade school, and a lot of these states and counties throughout the country. So what are the American people saying about this? What have they commented? Let's take a look at some of their comments because this is absolutely ridiculous. If you're just joining us, we're talking about a college professor by the name of, I think it's Holly O'Neill, who dressed as Michael Jackson during Halloween, and now she's getting raked through the coals over it. Michael Carroll wrote, oh, what culture are we speaking? She dressed as an American pop star. His culture was American. Very good point. That university is investigating instead of telling anyone who is inexplicably offended to soak her head and get a life is astonishing. Exactly what I just said. I mean, we should really just we need to be toughening these kids up. Listen, deal with it, whatever. Welcome to the real world, Karen. It's going to happen on your first day of corporate America. I promise you, okay? You're not going to be able to go cry in the bathroom. You'll get fired. You'll be sent home. And if you can't deal with it, then I don't know. Go find a job overseas volunteering and donating for the rest of your life because they're probably the only people going to tolerate it. Dawn said, wowzers, I'm a little confused as to why she is being investigated. She wore a costume for a holiday where it is customary to dress up. It's Halloween. You dress up during Halloween. Is the school and people that filed the complaint stating that only people with the same skin tone or culture can dress up as him or any other pop icon? Good point. What about a black teacher wanting to dress up as a white celebrity? It would be totally okay for that to happen. If you had a black professor show up one day dressed like Donald Trump, you would never hear a peep out of the student body about that. Now, would you? And I challenge any professor in the country or teacher to go do that next Halloween and then post a video of it. And then make sure you tag Patriot One News so we can prove our point that nobody is going to say a damn thing about a black professor showing up as white Donald Trump. You won't hear so much of a peep out of the student body over it. So it's a great point. We'll do one more comment. Ken said, so everyone on RuPaul's Drag Race needs to be behind bars, serving drinks for the crowd because we are all in need of one. If this is really an issue, imagine all the Cher impersonators out there. Imagine the Elvis impersonators out there. I've seen a lot of black Elvis in my days. Okay. Nobody said anything. All right. It happens all the time. And I think it's just absolutely disgusting that here we are 2 years after dealing with cancer culture, because that's what it is. It's cancer ripping through society. Take a look at comments on Patriot One News right now. What do you guys got for me? Republican Party all the way with my vote. Absolutely. Danielle, thank you for watching. Thank you all for tuning in today. I do appreciate it. We are live here every day, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just so you know, you can catch the show on Amazon Music, Spotify, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, and a host of other podcast platforms. We're here, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Look us up on all the usual suspects as well. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.